Hi, and welcome to today's episode of Teen Health Matters. This is Dr. Jacqueline Duje from the Howard County Health Department, and I have my co-host today, Shanae Vicks, and our special guest today, Dr. Elizabeth Menicherry. So today we're going to talk about teens and smoking and an emerging health issue for teens, e-cigarettes. So I want to introduce Shanae, and then we'll get into discussion with our guest today, Dr. Menicherry.
Hi, listeners. Thanks for tuning in. Again, my name is Shanae Vicks, and I'm the Child and Adolescent Injury Prevention Program Coordinator at the Howard County Health Department. And I'm excited to be here today.
So, Dr. Menicherry, we are so excited that you're here today to talk with us. Recently, I read a few articles about the fact that more teens are actually using e-cigarettes, and there's been a decrease in smoking. And there's even one article from the Washington Post that had a headline saying that e-cigarette smoking is a major public health concern. So we wanted to get into that topic a little bit and get your expertise about the issue of smoking. And so my first question for you is, how does smoking affect your health?
So I'm glad to be here, and e-cigarettes and just teen smoking has become a bigger passion of mine. At the health department, I'm the medical director, and I also head up our tobacco enforcement, which I'd love to tell more about in a little bit later. But smoking basically affects every organ in the body, and there's smoking for the person who's smoking, and then there's secondhand smoke for the people around them. And the organs that it affect are everything you can name, but the primary ones are the brain, the arteries, and the lungs. And cancer is prevalent with anyone that smokes, and the cancer can affect many organs. So you can get lung cancer, which everyone knows about, but there's also head, stomach, kidney, pancreas, colon, and even the reproductive organs like the uterus, the bladder, the cervix. So it's pervasive, but what most people hear about are strokes and heart attacks and lung disease, and people that they see who have oxygen and they're walking around with oxygen, they link that with smoking. But I wanted to make sure that people know that it can affect every single organ in the body.
So does the same thing apply with secondhand smoking? Are there different effects regarding teens in general and their health?
So in general, for all people with secondhand smoke, the secondhand smoke effects are related to both the lit part of the cigarette has its effects, but also the smoke that comes out of the cigarettes and the smoke actually have effect. And it likewise affects every organ, not to the extent and the concentration of the person actually smoking, but it definitely has all those chemicals are being spilled out into the environment. And if you're in close proximity, it still has those effects on your organs, especially your arteries and your lungs, and the cancers are still prevalent from the secondhand smoke.
Would you consider it being more effective for teens, considering that they're still developing, as opposed to an adult that may be exposed to secondhand smoking?
Sure. I would say, you know, we do know from studies that smoking in a pregnant woman is very dangerous, not only to the pregnancy, it can cause problems in the pregnancies of stillbirths and early delivery, but we do know that studies show that the smoke that the mother is ingesting affects the brain development of the fetus. And so I would assume that I don't know about the studies that definitively say that, but I would assume since it affects every organ, including the brain, that it could lead to developmental delays or impacts on the development of a brain in an adolescent.
So cigarettes are really, you know, smoking is really bad for you. Then why are teens smoking? Like, why do you think they're smoking?
So, you know, there's been numerous proposals and studies, and there's focus groups and things that are published. But in general, there was a Surgeon General's release in December, and it was the first time that a federal government investigated or concluded that e-cigarettes alone, the electronic cigarettes, are becoming a public health issue, predominantly for adolescents. And what they theorize is that it's curiosity, but it's also a multi-million dollar industry. So the tobacco industry spends almost $1 million per day in some of the reports on campaigning. And what we do know from smokers is that most smokers become addicted before the age of 19. So 80% of smokers are addicted before the age of 19. So it makes sense that the marketing and the targeting of the smoking industry would be to target those below the age of 19. And so we do know studies that say the incidence increases from age 11 on up to 19. So, you know, it's curiosity. There's now flavoring that is appealing. You know, they have bubblegum flavors. They have dissolvables. And then there's movies and media that kind of highlight and glorify some movie stars or people in the media that they know and admire who are smoking. And so I think it's multifactorial.
You mentioned tobacco. Now, speaking of tobacco, what exactly is the addicting factor in a cigarette? Is it the tobacco itself, or is it the nicotine, or is it something else?
So tobacco is a leaf product, and tobacco has many derivatives and chemicals that come out of tobacco. The harmful effects are the chemicals that cause the cancers and the diseases in our bodies. And tobacco has many byproducts. And some of the chemicals are something called nitrosamines, or there are hydrocarbons when it's heated. It also has radioactive elements. So they find fertilizer that fertilizes the plants, the tobacco plants, are actually found in bodies of humans.
Wow.
And that's in our, so there's radioactive elements, there's chemicals, and there's even metals. So some of the tobacco products have heavy metals like arsenic and chromium, lead, nickel, mercury. But one of the other byproducts, chemical byproducts, is nicotine. And in tobacco products, the addictive part of tobacco is the nicotine.
So as you stated earlier, more adolescents are using e-cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard some claims, you know, by some scientists, and then in reading that people may be using e-cigarettes as well because they think it's a better alternative or a safer alternative. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so that is a myth that is out there. They think that, so e-cigarettes are basically aerosolized nicotine. And in order to aerosolize something, you have to mix it with a liquid. And most of the liquids are water. However, some people are getting very experimental, and there's other liquids being mixed. But in general, e-cigarettes burn water vapor and aerosolize nicotine. And any form or quantity of nicotine is dangerous to the body. And you also have the chemical breakdown of some of these other chemicals that I mentioned in tobacco products that are also harmful. And so e-cigarettes are a form of nicotine, and so therefore they are harmful.
So how exactly do you think teens are acquiring these e-cigarettes? Are they going to the local stores? Are they getting them from friends?
Mm-hmm.
How are they even able to purchase these items?
So there's legislation that at various points in time when e-cigarettes came out that didn't recognize electronic cigarettes in the same federal regulations as cigarettes and cigars and things like that. So now legislation, especially in Maryland, in Howard County as well, has recognized that electronic cigarettes, not only the liquids that you need for them as well as the devices, are banned under the age of 18 in purchasing them. However, teens still are able to, unfortunately, purchase tobacco products, including other tobacco products like electronic cigarettes, from some tobacco retailers, and that's what our tobacco enforcement proxy, and there's a federal, a state, and a local level of enforcement that we go to establishments to make sure that they're not selling to the teenagers. But they have friends that buy for them. They have strangers that they see going in to buy tobacco products. They'll ask them. In enforcement world, that's called a proxy agent, and that is illegal as well. It's a little harder to prove that they were going in to buy it for someone else, but they have others. They also have parents that buy and have it around the house. And so if there is a will, there is a way, but it is illegal for anyone under the 18 to purchase any kind of tobacco product, including electronic cigarettes.
So you mentioned a little bit about the enforcement work
mm-hmm.
that you participate with. Can you give us a little bit more information about what you actually do to help reduce the sale of cigarettes or help deter kids from smoking?
So Howard County Health Department is involved in direct enforcement of tobacco retailers. And what that involves is where we do stings. We have an underage tobacco youth investigator that we hire and we train them in order to go in and say that they want to buy cigarettes. They bring their own IDs and they dress as they normally will. And we try to see if the tobacco retailers will sell to them. Now, it is illegal in Maryland to sell to anyone under the age of 18. And in Howard County, each county has their own different fines and penalties. In Howard County, it's a civil violation if you sell to a minor. So what we do is we have the teen go in to try to buy cigarettes, or they go into a vaping store and try to buy the products. If the tobacco retailer sells to the teen, then the enforcement officer, who is the adult officer with the teen, will come in and let the retailer know that they are in violation and give them a civil citation, which then goes to the court and they have to pay their fines. In Howard County, we fine actually the clerk that sold the tobacco product to the minor, as well as whoever owns the license for the tobacco establishment, and we fine them as well. And it's a progressive fine. The first time we do this, it's a lower fee. The second time is a little higher, and then the third time is the highest. The good and the bad is this keeps the retailers on their toes and reminds them that, you know, they're part of the community and they have an obligation to not sell to our teens, and that they can be a community partner in reducing sales to teens, but it also is a penalty for them. So as they get more violations, the state comptroller can actually take away their license to sell any tobacco products.
So are you finding that, are you in those stings, are you actually finding clerks and stores that are actually selling to teens under 18?
Yes. Unfortunately, you know, we still have tobacco retailers in Howard County that are selling tobacco products to people under the age of 18, and our youth investigators are age 16 to 17, and some of them obviously look very young. And so, you know, what our job at the health department is to educate these retailers that, you know, this is not the law, and this is contributing to an ongoing problem that is pretty much a huge public health concern and becoming an epidemic of underage people using tobacco products, specifically electronic devices, more so than cigarettes. And so we ask for their partnership in trying to rectify their practices and help train their employees to do the right thing, but also know why they're doing that and why the rules and regulations are set in place. It's to protect our youth and their health in the future.
So you mentioned briefly about vaping. Can you explain exactly what it is, and does that have anything to do with e-cigarettes?
So e-cigarettes and vaping are just electronic forms of aerosolized nicotine. And vaping is, again, water vapor in different chemical cartridges of nicotine that is burned, and then the water vapor and the nicotine are inhaled. So vaping typically gives kind of a plume of smoke that looks like smoke, but it's actually water vapor. So typically the plume is much bigger and broader, but it's just as harmful. It has the nicotine dissolved in it, and they're inhaling the nicotine. So it's just as dangerous as smoking a cigarette or a cigar.
Well, what about hookahs? Are there any other smoking devices we should be aware of?
Yeah, so there's a huge array of smoking products. There's cigars, cigarillos, hookahs, electronic devices. Sometimes they're referred to as ENDS, E-N-D-S, which is electronic nicotine devices, which includes the vaping devices, the electronic cigarettes. I can't keep up with the names anymore, but there's cigarillos, there's dissolvables, there is the snuff or snus that they call it, which is what you see sometimes baseball players using. They have a little packet of chew and things that you can inhale or chew. But there's many, many more different forms and mechanisms of obtaining tobacco and its byproducts.
So have you found in your work at all that teens are using e-cigarettes or vaping for other products at all, like other than nicotine, let's say marijuana or anything else?
So there is a strong correlation, and there's studies that show that teens that are using electronic or cigarettes in general are at 2 to 4 times higher likelihood of using other substances, including alcohol and marijuana. And so we are finding, we also see in our tobacco program at the health department, we also see students from high schools that are referred after they've been caught with tobacco products. And we do have a fair amount of teens that are coming after being found with marijuana products. So it's tobacco and marijuana. But there is a distinct correlation that's been studied that substance abuse, including cigarettes, are linked with other substances.
Do you find that teens' parents are aware that their child is smoking? Are they allowing their teens to smoke? Or what are your thoughts on that?
We only have a handful of teens that we know that come to our program, and we ask them these questions. And we usually find out that the parents are aware and that it's an addiction. And so the parents are having challenges of their own to try to help their teen get off of the e-cigarettes or the smoking. You also have parents who they themselves smoke and are challenged for themselves to get off of smoking and know that maybe when they're smoking, it's not sending the same the message they want to send to their they're a child. However, they themselves, it's a very strong addiction. Nicotine is actually even more addictive than heroin or cocaine. And so it is challenging to stop smoking yourself, especially if you're an adult who's been doing it for many more years.
So a follow-up to that, do you think that teens in households of parents who smoke are more likely to smoke as well?
I don't know if I can say that, but I will say that they're exposed to it. They see it as something that's part of their lives, and so perhaps there could be the thought that it's a little more acceptable to them as opposed to other households where the parents are not smoking, but I really don't know for sure.
So we've talked a lot about the health effects of smoking, e-cigarettes versus regular cigarettes, tobacco, and nicotine. Are there ways to actually, help prevent smoking? Like what would be your suggestion for parents, for anyone who knows someone who's trying to smoke or is thinking about smoking?
So there have been some recommendations, both in the Surgeon General's report and the CDC has a lot of tips and advice on how to prevent or actually help young adults who are smokers quit smoking. And pervasively, what it does say is to educate youth very early on. And sometimes we don't know what to tell our young children or how to tell them about the woes of life that are coming up, but the studies do say to even start as early as elementary school is telling children about what tobacco is and how it affects your body, not necessarily scaring them saying you shouldn't do this, but teaching them and educating them about the harms that it can cause to your body, and that promoting health and healthy thinking and healthy options.
So you mentioned some programs at the health department. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Can teens call to get help? Do the parents have to call, or is this something that they're a part of once they're caught with smoking device?
So we do not want it to appear that it's punitive, that teens have to come to our program. We want it to be very voluntary because, as I said, nicotine is very addicting. And so just like with high blood pressure or diabetes, it's an addiction is a disease. And, we want people to feel like even though they're smoking, there's a way to treat it. And so we have two different programs. One is one that you can be referred from the school, and anyone at the school can refer themselves. So it can be a teacher, a counselor, a principal, or even the student or parent themselves from the school can refer them to our mandatory program. Because in Howard County Schools, if you're caught with tobacco products, it's a mandatory that you have to go to some educational program and show the school that you're making an effort or understanding more. And we have that mandatory program where at the end they receive a certificate that they can give to the school. But we also have a voluntary program for anyone. It doesn't have to be that you're smoking, but you can be in the household and maybe your parent smokes and you want to learn more about tobacco, the different tobacco products and how it harms you. Or you could be a smoker and you want to quit yourself, and you can be enrolled. And it's an educational program that teaches you about tobacco and its health effects. But it also offers you counseling and potential treatments. The federal drug FDA does not approve some of the tobacco cessation medications for those under the age of 18. But I think under the guidance of a clinician and close monitoring, some of those medications can actually be effective in some teenage smokers.
Okay, that sounds great. And hopefully at the end of our podcast, we can provide information for people if they're interested in voluntarily coming to the program and learning more. We can provide the information.
Yeah.
But I know you mentioned earlier about the teens that you have that are the enforcement volunteers. I forget what you call them, youth enforcement.
Youth tobacco investigators.
Youth tobacco investigators. Can you tell us a little bit more about that program and if there are opportunities for teens to actually volunteer for that program?
Definitely. We want teens to volunteer. So every year we try to recruit teens that are age 16 to 17. We need you to be under the age of 18 because at 18 you're legal to buy tobacco products. But we're looking for mature teens that want to help and participate in an investigation, and that although there is adult supervision, it is sometimes scary to go in and, you know that you're doing this to try to trick someone into selling something to you. However, we need you to just go in and act as if you're buying. So we want mature, motivated young individuals to come and work with us. And currently we contract with a group called the the Surveillance Group, which is a group of retired police officers who are no strangers to enforcement checks for alcohol and other drugs. They partner with us and they take the teens out and they go to the different establishments that we give. The Howard County Health Department gives them the list of establishments to go to. And we work with the county to get those agencies because the number of tobacco licensees in Howard County is changing all the time. It's an annual license that has to be renewed. They go out with them, work with them, and then it is a paid position. So we require a commitment from the teen. But it's a great experience, and it helps you give back to your community.
So I know that, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us today about your program, about other projects that you're involved with at the health department?
Well, I think I talked a lot about our enforcement program, but I do want to encourage everyone to come out on Saturday, April 1st. We are celebrating National Public Health Week, and the Howard County Health Department, along with its enforcement programs and services that we do in tobacco education in the community, all the different programs at the health department will be displaying what they do in the community and how they're trying to help teens and adults become healthier and choose healthier options in the community. And so we have many events planned. Some performers like Kangaroo Kids will be there, but more importantly, the different services that are offered by Howard County Health Department in the community for our residents, many of them free programs and services, will be at the event at the mall. So it's at the Mall of Columbia on Saturday, April 1st from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And as incentives, there's many raffles and free giveaways that I think people would love to get. And some of the giveaways are pretty cool.
I want to thank you, Doctor, for joining us today. I think this has been a really enlightening conversation. It's my hope that our listeners today share this information with their friends and their family and of course, continue to tune into our Teen Health Matters podcasts. But before we sign off, is there anything else you want to add that we haven't covered with our questioning today?
I think I want to take this opportunity to talk about a community-wide initiative, and Howard Community College is actually participating in this. It's a community-wide initiative called CARAP, and that's an acronym for a very long thing that I'm going to rattle out and nobody's going to remember other than CARAP, but it's Community Access to Resources via Enhanced Technology for Providers and Public. Hence, the short-term CARAP that everyone will remember. So basically, it's an electronic software management tool for organizations in our community to refer clients that they see for services like transportation or housing to each other within the network, but electronically. So you don't have to send a client to, let's say, NeighborRide for rides and not know if they ever got there. You could send an electronic referral. NeighborRide would see that electronic referral. And then when the client got there, they would send you a message back saying that Mrs. Jones has arrived here. She's eligible for our programs. We're going to enroll her. It's a little more complex than that, but it's basically connecting community agencies that service clients for housing, food, transportation, education, employment, and services that access healthcare. So it's not necessarily access to health resources, but all the things that affect us on our daily life. So what we call the social determinants of health. So the impact that we have on our life, where we're born, we live, we age, we play, and we grow. So again, it's seven categories that include housing and transportation, education, employment, food, and access to the health care that we need. And so that initiative started in July, but actually is starting to roll out to the community agencies. Howard Community College is one of the agencies that we're excited is going to be participating in this initiative, and it'll last for about a year. So until January 2018 is what we're calling phase one, and then we'll see how successful it is, and we're hoping it'll be a success, and then we'll roll out phase two and thereafter. But we're excited to be helping Howard County community kind of link together through technology to help all of the residents that live here.
So the health department sounds like it's doing some great work. And again, we were excited to have you speak with us today. So this is Dr. Jacqueline Dujay. Thanking everyone for joining us again today. And I'll pass along to my co-host. She has any last words?
No last words, but thanks again for listening. And I look forward to joining you all next time.
And I wanted to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about electronic cigarettes and cigarettes in general, but also expanding to let the listeners know about what we're doing for our community through the health department. And I wanted to invite any of the listeners that are interested in learning more about becoming a youth tobacco investigator to participate in our enforcement checks in the community, or if they would like to enroll or find out more about our smoking awareness programs, both the mandatory one where they're referred from schools or by parents, or the voluntary one that we would love to have anyone of any age come and learn more about the tobacco products and the effects on your health. They can contact the health department either through our website at www.hchealth.org, or they can call directly to one of our staff workers that man these programs and run the programs, facilitating them. And the phone number is 410-313-6273. And again, thank you for having me. It's been exciting, and this is very cool. And I hope to be back again.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hello, Kubo.
What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.